Are you ready for our first ever triplets birth story? I know I am. I want to do a brief trigger warning that Lori shares her story of her pregnancy and birth with triplets while recovering from an eating disorder. So she's very open about how she navigated being weighed and nutrition and her changing body. I'm very thankful for her transparency, but I know that might be triggering for some, so just wanted to give you a little warning. If you're ready, here we go. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. I am delighted to have Lori on the show with us today to share her triplets birth story. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here today.
Oh, I'm so excited. As I was telling you before we started recording, I've been sharing plus-size pregnancy and birth stories for over a decade, and I have yet to have a triplets birth story. I've had a few twins birth stories, so I'm just really honored that you wanted to share your story. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm awesome. I'm really glad to be able to share it with you guys as well.
Thank you. Well, let's start with your journey to getting pregnant.
Yeah, it was... I guess quite the story. Well, first off, we kind of postponed getting pregnant because I was in school getting my bachelor's of social work. So our plan was to try after I finished and graduated. And then after graduation, it was taking a while. And I actually ended up going to multiple doctors to see what was going on. And
what responses were you getting? Because you said multiple visits.
I mean, the first doctor basically just couldn't tell me anything. They just said, like, we don't know what's going on. My husband, actually, he 2 years before we met, he actually had testicular cancer. So he had 40% mobility.
Oh, wow.
But then there was also me, right? Like, I was having issues, but they couldn't figure out what it was. And so then I ended up going to another doctor to see if they could find out. Because my family doctor, actually, she was the one referring me to different doctors to see who could find out what was going on for me. So she was wonderful.
Great. Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was all referrals. And then finally, the last doctor basically said that I'm going to totally botch how it's called. It's like vaginism or something along those lines, where it's just like it's a pain with intercourse and whatnot. And there's just, he's just basically said, like, get pregnant. And I'm like, how am I supposed to get pregnant?
Believe it or not, we've had someone with that condition on the show. And she shared her whole journey and the pain and going through dilation, all these things. So I will put her episode in the show notes. Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had never heard of it. Didn't know anyone else that had it either. So it was like, it was a pretty lonely journey when it came to that. But the doctor said, like, getting pregnant was probably your best way. The hormones might change your body and whatnot. And so he recommended going to fertility. And so then he did a referral to the fertility clinic in our community. And then at the same time, we had actually just started the process of adoption.
Wow. So how long? I know that you shared the journey in like two minutes, but how long had you guys been trying on your own before you sought out your primary care provider who led you in all these different paths?
I think it was about a year-ish when that happened. And then it was another year and a bit of going to all the different specialists.
Wow.
And then when we finally got the referral to the fertility clinic, it was a 6-month wait until we could actually speak to the clinic.
My heart.
Yeah. 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 Well, we're in Canada, so a lot of things are referral based. And so you have to wait because it's paid by our benefit. The fertility is not paid by benefits, but everything's wait, right? Because, you know, most things are covered, right? So going through the process, waiting for the next, you know, doctor specialist to talk to, there was always a wait too, right? So yeah, mm-hmm. It was quite the process.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I can only imagine the toll that would take emotionally waiting so long to get some answers, but at least you finally felt like you were getting someplace and had a diagnosis that you didn't even know that you had too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So what was that first fertility appointment like?
Well, the first one was just around going through what it would look like if we were going to do IVF or IUI, which is IUI is intrauterine insemination, and IVF is the more expensive one, where it's like $20,000 and it's way more invasive.
Yes.
And so the doctor said, you know, we did all of our tests to see where we were at with, you know, my husband's, you know, counts and whatever. And she said that she felt IUI would be, you know, a good starting point for us at least. And then if it didn't, you know, pan out after a few months, we can move to the IVF. And so,
and that's for most people too, just for anyone listening, IUI that's far less invasive and far less expensive mm-hmm. is usually where they want to start. But with your unique circumstances, that might've not been a possibility too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she wanted to make sure that it was okay for me with everything they would be doing. Cause it's almost like a pap smear, right? Like they get the mm-hmm. little duck billed thing and whatnot to insert the semen and everything, right? So I was like, I mean, it's uncomfortable for me, but I was able to tolerate that. So we were able to go through with that part.
Right. Because if you're, and I might say it wrong too, because I did this interview a while ago, but the vaginism, it you restrict and cramp, and it can be painful to have something mm-hmm. inserted into your vaginal canal.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Wow. But you mm-hmm. did okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so after the first, you know, just initial meeting with the doctor and all the tests to see where we're at, we decided to take a month just to kind of like, hey, we're going to be ready, but we want to take a month just to kind of, you know, for ourselves to really make sure this is the, you know, where we want to go. And plus the other thing, we were also at the same time kind of waiting for the adoption stuff too, right? Yeah. So we were going through a lot.
Yes.
And then the month, because we're like, we're going to take 1 month and then next month we're going to start. And the month, basically, like the week that we were going to start and call them, is when everything shut down because of COVID.
No.
Yes.
Oh my
yeah.
goodness.
So it was quite the, yeah, it was a big hit to us, right? To, yes. to realize that. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. So mm-hmm. then it's just a wait and see until they're opening backup services that are non-emergent.
Yeah, exactly. They wow. they were still doing IVF, but they weren't doing IUI. I don't know why, but oh. anyways.
Probably because yeah. people had already spent so much money on stuff. Wow.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, and then the adoption actually ramped up. So it was kind of okay in a way that we were yeah. kind of putting on hold IUI, because the adoption, what they were able to do is then start doing a lot of what they call like the home visits by Zoom, yeah. right? So, because there was actually going to be the adoption after we finished, we have to do a course and everything about like trauma and attachment and stuff. And then after that, they told us, well, there was a 2-year wait now for you to actually get to the next step. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But then because of COVID, they were able to do everything via Zoom. So then it ended up making things quicker for them. And then it was like a couple of months later, we actually got a phone call saying like, hey, you know, we actually are capable of moving forward with doing the home visits now via Zoom if you're comfortable with it. So we're like, okay. We had a couple of months where we were obviously really down about it, but then, you know, the adoption came up and we started focusing our attention on that.
What a roller coaster of emotions on your journey to parenthood. Oh my
yes.
goodness. Wow. Yeah. mm-hmm. Wow. So how did things unfold from there on either path?
Well, the adoption, they go through a lot of stuff and a lot of personal stuff of your background and family history and this and that and everything. And then, you know, we pass that. And then after that, it's like, okay, now it's a waiting game to yeah. get everything that they've done, like the social worker to get it approved by their, you know, supervisors and everything, and then move on to the next stage.
And was that a local adoption in Canada?
It was the government adoption agency, ministry. Yeah. So then actually while we were kind of just at the end of doing they call it a home study, the IUI started opening up. So we were kind of doing a bit of both IUI and adoption stuff. So
yeah.
it actually became quite a lot for us. They actually say to do one or the other, and now I know why.
Oh.
Yeah. But we made it through. And then we ended up doing, it took 8 months of fertility, IUI.
Wow.
So we did 7 back to back. We just did it, right? And I was taking a medication because it helps to pump out more eggs. So you have a better chance of getting pregnant. And it just kind of plays with your emotions and your hormones and everything, right? So I was by the 6th and 7th month, I felt like I was going a little crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I was also like, I didn't want to take a break because I was like, what if I take a break and it's the month that would have been the month I got pregnant, right? So it was a lot to kind of take on. And finally, it just got to the point I was talking to my best friend and she's like, I think you need to take a break. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
So I took 2 months off. We took 2 months off. And then the month that we went back is the month that worked. So taking that break, I feel actually helped.
Yes. Yes. To maybe de-stress a little bit with all that you were under. Wow.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And while we were doing everything, we were actually trying everything as well. Like we were doing acupuncture. I was seeing a naturopath. Like I was trying everything under the sun, like Chiro. Just and like it was just getting so expensive too. And I think on top of that, I was like, hey, and it still wasn't working. I think it was just so stressful. I'm like, I'm trying everything I can try and nothing's working. And so then I was like, I took a break from everything. Like I stopped doing the naturopath acupuncture and everything, and then went back the 1 month and it was just bam, it just, you know, happened.
And you were pregnant with triplets from the IUI?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
How it works is, I mean, it's an option. They will do like an ultrasound before they inseminate you, and they showed 4 eggs, right? And I've had 4 eggs before, but nothing happened. I was like, okay, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then the first ultrasound that they did after telling us I was pregnant, they told us they saw twins. And wow. My husband actually had the whole time was wanting twins. So he was ecstatic, right? Super happy. And again, because of COVID, he couldn't be in the office with me, but he was over FaceTime. So he was, at least being able to see it.
Yeah.
That was really great. You know, we obviously cried. And then a few weeks later, I think it was about 3 weeks later, I ended up having some really bad bleeding. And so I rushed to the hospital because we thought I was having a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And then it was at the hospital. They did an ultrasound and they found the third baby.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
And were you alone then as well?
Yes, again, because of COVID, my husband wasn't allowed to be with me. So it was alone. And the ultrasound tech, it was kind of funny because she's like, how many did they say they saw? And I was like, they saw two. She's like, because I see three.
Wow.
And I just started crying, right? And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just trying to figure out my life.
Well, yeah, to go from thinking you might be losing your babies to finding out, oh, by the way, you are pregnant with three beautiful babies. Yes. Like, wow. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. It was, the whole thing was just, everything was an entire emotional, you know, roller coaster the entire time.
Was everything okay with the bleeding? I know bleeding can occur during pregnancy. We just don't hear about it happening very often. And it's so good that you immediately sought medical treatment when you had a concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said everything was fine. And it was, I can't remember what it was, but the ultrasound tech said she saw something and she said it's completely normal, whatever it was. And she said that it's probably what caused the bleeding. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, and then we joke because, you know, we didn't wait to tell our close family and friends because they knew we were going through fertility.
Right. So for so long.
So when we found out we were pregnant, we told the family and friends we're pregnant. And then when the first ultrasound happened, we told them, oh, we're having twins. Right. And then when we had the second ultrasound, we was like, okay, well, we're actually having triplets. So we joked that we told our family and friends 3 times.
I love it. But I'm really glad. I love that you shared right away too, because then you have this support system throughout whatever unfolds with your journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And as your pregnancy was progressing, what was happening with the adoption?
Oh my gosh. So I think it was the very next week after finding out that we were pregnant, they called us telling us they had a match.
Oh my goodness.
I was just like, my gosh, right? And so we met with the social worker and everything, and then just like talked about it. And we're like, okay, you know, we just found out that we're actually pregnant. So, you know, we're going to obviously have to, unfortunately, try to take ourselves off of the list for now and just kind of, you know, wait. And our plan was to go back to adoption after, you know, a year or two, because we were looking at having 2 to 3 children, right? So now we've got the 3. So
yes. Wow. But to have everything happen at like the universe colliding at the same time. Wow,
right. It's like, we're going to make you parent one way or another.
I know, which is beautiful. I'm sure after fighting so hard for so long and going through so much as a couple. Can you share a little bit about that experience with your relationship? Because we have so many people who listen and go through fertility treatments and just the toll that it can take or how it can bring you closer together.
I definitely feel it brought us closer together.
Aww.
I do see a therapist and
great.
He is amazing. Helps me through everything. It's, you know, it's been, it was definitely very trying for both of us, but going through therapy, and my husband's amazing too. Cause whenever yes. I said like, look, we need to chat about something. He's the kind of person, he'll put everything down and just kind of like look at me and just like, I know that his focus is on me, and he's just like, okay, well, like, what do we need to talk about? Right. So we had many a nights where we would talk, over stuff and, work through stuff, and our relationship has grown immensely. So yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm so glad. How did your pregnancy progress? What was that experience like early on once you got into going to those prenatal visits with three babies?
Yes. First off, I'll explain that one of the things my therapist helped me with was to realize that I had a history of an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And so I actually had just been in recovery, starting recovery just before starting the IUI treatment. So it has been like a few months that I'd realized this and was in, you know, recovery. It was a long process of going through that as well. And then having to navigate the medical system because of being double, where I'm like, I have a history of an eating disorder, and then I'm also plus size, right? So yeah. I don't weigh myself anymore, because that was one of the things that I did a lot, was on a regular daily basis, was weighing myself and being obsessed with numbers. Mm-hmm. And so with pregnancy, they weigh you on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
And so I had to advocate for myself and tell them like, look, I have a history of an eating disorder. I need to stand backwards on the scale. I'm like, you can weigh me. I cannot see the numbers. And for the most part, most of the nurses I worked with were really great at that. And one even said, oh, no, that's totally fine. We have other women that do the same thing. So I was really appreciative of that.
Good. And yeah. And you're asking for something so small just to stand backwards. That should be more than accommodated. So I'm glad that you advocated for what you needed to look out for your overall mental and physical well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even like the doctor was actually really good about that, because when I had my initial like consultation with sex, I also had many doctors following me because it was considered a high-risk pregnancy.
Yeah.
I had mentioned the same thing about having a history of an eating disorder and not wanting to see my weight, and she said, oh no, perfect, that's fine, you know, I completely understand. And it was really reassuring to me that my main doctor was okay with that as well. So
good. And I hope anyone listening knows that you can, if you feel comfortable, and I'm grateful you're working with a therapist and getting that support, but if you can speak up and advocate for what's important to you, and if getting weighed is a trigger, then there are different things that you can do, like standing backwards, or if you weigh at home, which I know that's definitely not what I would advocate for, having to scale at home, but some people feel more comfortable doing that and then bringing the number. Another option is, if the scale is in a very public area, to ask to be weighed in private, or just saying you don't, if you have a day where you're like, I don't want to be on the scale, then you have every right to say, I do not want to be weighed today. So knowing that we have options can sometimes help to alleviate some of that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was lucky in a way because of COVID as well, because the one doctor's office, I mean, I actually kind of wish that I had said something, because it is right in the waiting room. But because
in
of COVID,
the waiting room? Oh,
right,
my goodness.
Right in the waiting room. Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, this is horrible.
Yes.
I just had, now I think about it, like, I should have said something. But because of COVID, there was only ever one person there. So I was the only person in the waiting room. So there was no one else around. So I guess that's why I didn't really say this shouldn't be here, but I should have.
Jeez.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yes. It's usually right in like the hallway where everyone's walking, but like in the waiting room. Wow. I hope they change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At any point, were they focused on your weight or addressing any concerns with that?
They never really said much to me directly about my weight, but there was that whole like, oh, like, do you have high blood pressure or diabetes and everything, right? And I mean, it was kind of hard to, I really wanted to advocate for myself around that, but it was hard because then they would argue like, well, you're carrying triplets, it's more common when people have, women have triplets, that they're going to have high blood pressure or diabetes or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, well, you know, so I just kind of felt at a kind of a tough spot, right?
Yeah.
Kind of was like, oh, okay, I guess like you can retest me or whatever, right? So, but mm-hmm. I got tested a few times for both of those. And every time I just knocked it out of the park and it was fine.
Wow, that's great. I mean, it's great for anyone of any size having great, like you just said, there are increased risks for the high-risk pregnancy, but that it almost feels like assumptions are being made because mm-hmm. of your BMI, of your overall health, and that feels crummy. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
How did your body progress with triplets? Wow.
Oh my gosh. It was tough. Like,
yeah.
To be honest, I ended up going off of work around, I think it was 17 or 18 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is fairly normal from what I've heard and read about triplets. And it just, one of the things too is I had been told by another mom of triplets to read a specific book. It's When You're Expecting Twins, Triplets, or Quads.
Great. I'll put that in the show notes for anyone that might be walking in that path too.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a trigger warning because it does talk about like weight and calories and things like that. So I guess it depends on where someone is, you know, if they're in recovery or things like that. So I just want to give
Thank
that little
you.
Warning as well.
I appreciate that.
But I felt like with my help of my therapist that I was okay to read what I needed to and just move past what I didn't feel like I needed to read.
I feel like that's the case for many of the pregnancy books, right?
Yeah.
It feels like there are triggers, which I think there are, you know, a lot more newer books that are coming out with more inclusive language and not so polarizing words like obesity. You know, like I feel like we're going in the right direction, but for any pregnancy book, but especially someone who has a history of disordered eating, we need to be very cautious and careful. So I love that wisdom of take what you need, leave what you don't, and do some self-care in the process too. I'd add that into there as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And so I just wanted to mention that the book was, it was completely helpful. And I feel that it helped me have such a healthy pregnancy as well as being in recovery from an eating disorder. Because with having, you know, triplets, the book had mentioned you need to eat like a lot. Like it mentioned calories, but I'm not going to say numbers because I don't focus on them. But it said, and I just focus on like, okay, I need to eat a lot, right? And it said like eat, you know, so many times a day, this and that, and everything. And then it mentioned like as you get bigger, it's harder to eat more because you have so much pressing on all your organs and everything,
yeah.
right? So you're feeling fuller more often, but you need to eat more. So it mentioned eating like specific shakes and things like that, which I started buying and eating those or drinking those multiple times a day. And I think it really helped that because I was in recovery, I didn't have this like thought in my head, like, oh my gosh, I'm eating too much or whatever it is, because that was a big thing for me, was counting my calories and everything like that, right? So mm-hmm. it would have been a thing that would have been really triggering for me before. But being in recovery, I just like, hey, you know what? This is for the babies. Just put this food in my body. This is for the babies. Right. So, and I almost like was almost like on clock. I was like, you don't, after a certain point in the pregnancy, I never felt hungry because I knew that I just needed to put food in my stomach. Right.
Wow.
So it was just like more so like watching the clock, like, okay, I should eat right now. And so
yeah.
it was kind of weird in the recovery process as well, because I'm trying to be intuitive with my eating and focus on that as well. And then I went from that to this, like, okay, now I can't listen to my body when it says it's hungry, because it's just never going to really feel hungry. And if I do feel hungry, it's too late. Right. So,
mm-hmm. And then you had the support of your therapist and your partner and all these systems in place that you could walk through this as, you know, of course, I'm guessing there were still times where their triggers came up, but you were doing everything to set yourself up to feel supported throughout this experience.
Yes, exactly. Like, I think it was just the perfect time in my life for this pregnancy to happen for me. Like, if it had happened a year or two later, like, I don't think that my babies would have been, have done so well as they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about watching your body grow and change? Was that triggering, or were you able to focus like you did with food, that I'm doing this for the babies?
Yeah, during the pregnancy, it was definitely about the babies. It was like, you know what? Like, this is for the babies. Like, they're growing good. You know, they're healthy. That's amazing. You know, my body is, you know, my body's going to change because I've had triplets, period. Right. Like, I just
Right.
kept telling myself that, like, this is, you know, the roadmap of my life and my history. That's what's happening to my body. So, like, getting stretch marks and getting really, really like big, just like in my
Yeah.
mind, I was like, this just means that they're doing great. They're healthy, right? So that
Your
was just
body
a
is
constant.
growing three humans. Like, that's just amazing. Like,
Yeah.
such the appreciation for your body growing one baby, let alone two, let it go alone three. And especially
Yes.
after how long you guys had worked and fought for this moment in time. But I really appreciate how transparent you're being about balancing this all out, because you're not alone in it. And yet we don't talk about it. So thank you, Lori.
And I guess it's kind of like almost a mother thing too. I look at it that way, as you know, when you're a mom, a lot of times you put your focus on your children versus yourself,
Right?
which sometimes maybe we do it a little too much. But I mean, during the pregnancy, I was just like, you know, there's all I have. All they have right now is me. There's just nothing else. So it's got to be me doing this for them. And, you know,
Yeah.
right. So I was just like, and then because I had, again, been in therapy, I was working through it with that. And he was amazing, helping me through everything as my body changed. So it was just, like I said, again, perfect timing to go through what I did. Yeah.
Well, good. How did your pregnancy progress?
Well, at about 27 weeks, I ended up having some pretty serious, like, they thought I was going into preterm labor.
Oh, wow.
And so I mean, I actually just thought nothing of it because my uterus had been contracting for already months because it was so stressed out, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, eh, it's just, you know, I'm going through the same thing. It's just, it felt more intense that day. So I was like, I'm just gonna go to the hospital, hon, and it should be fine. I was
Yeah.
like so nonchalant about it. And then I get there and there's like everyone, I had like four or five nurses on me. I had
Oh.
like doctors coming in and out, and they're like hooking me up to everything. And I was like, hey, this is a little different than the last time I was in the hospital. So I was
Yeah.
just like, okay. And so then the doctor eventually told me that they wanted to fly me to Vancouver because it was the next closest city that had the next level for a hospital, which is
Oh,
here, it's the
wow.
BC Women and BC Children's Hospital. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually becoming serious now.
And you're alone
Yeah.
too
Yeah.
because
Well, my
of
husband,
COVID.
yeah. He was actually allowed to come. He was just like,
Oh,
because
good.
I told him at first, I was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You stay at work. I'm just going to go. And then by the time the doctor told me that, I called my husband, like, because it was just for the time for him to get off work. And I was like, I'm still at the hospital. They're talking about flying me to Vancouver. You need to come here now. And so he rushed over to the hospital to be with me.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm so glad he was able, because what a stressful and scary situation to be in. And I can't imagine being alone. I'm so glad. I'm feeling such relief over here. Wow. Okay, good. I'm glad. How far was Vancouver from where you guys lived?
It's about, I'd say, on a good day, like no snow or any of that, like a 4.5 hour drive. And
Whoa.
the flight was about an hour. The flight itself was about an hour, and so getting from the hospital to the airport was 20 minutes, and then again from the airport to the hospital in Vancouver was another 20 minutes. So I think it
Wow.
was just under 2 hours to be in transportation. Although I did tell my husband to stay because they said he could fly with me, but I said, well, I'll let you stay and then we'll know what's going on tonight, and then tomorrow morning you can drive down, and that way he would have a vehicle to come back home depending on what the situation
Yes.
was, right?
That seems
And
very logical. I don't
yeah.
know that I would have been that logical in the moment. But also, like, there, you know, you want your cell phone charger and comfy clothes and your robe and all that stuff. So you were being very thoughtful. I would have been like, get on the plane. So yeah. Wow. 4 hours. That's a long trek from home to the hospital. And then you don't know how long you're going to be there either. Wow.
Yeah, it was quite the ordeal. Like, I actually didn't in my head think, I was like, you know, I might be going to labor, I might not be. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, then once I got to Vancouver and I was there, and they're kind of like, it was almost like their ER waiting room type of thing. I don't really know what to call it. Like, before you get to maybe the actual surgical room or whatever. And
Triage is probably
yes,
where,
thank
yeah.
you.
Sure.
And just to check, see how things were going, because they needed a double check, made sure that my city, you know, what they thought was happening was actually happening. And so they had to hook up the monitors. And so it's difficult with three babies, because normally you just
Yeah.
look for the monitor of one baby. And then with three, you need to put three monitors on, as well as the monitor to check for the contractions. So I had all of these monitors on me. And then the problem was the babies move, right?
Yeah.
And with three, you know, a lot of times there would be one would move. So you'd have the heartbeat of two, but not one. And they needed a minimum of 5 minutes of consistent heartbeats to know.
Oh
And
my
it was like, it would
gosh.
be like a minute or two. And then it would, and then one of them would move when I was just sitting there. And by this time, it had been like, I'd say 5 or 6 hours since I'd eaten, and I wasn't allowed to eat in case I went into surgery.
Right.
So I was just like, and
Oh
then
my
the nurse
gosh.
kept like coming and going, like the in Kelowna here, the nurses were on me and they were like holding the monitors to make sure they were getting the readings. But in Vancouver, there was this one nurse and she would come and move the monitor and then leave. And then it would, you know, it would
Oh no.
adjust and she'd have to come back. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I was there for probably, I don't know, it felt like a couple of hours before the doctor felt like, okay, we're okay. You're not in active labor. You know, we're just going to admit you and everything. So it felt like there was a few hours there waiting to know what was going on because they just
Oh.
couldn't get the proper, you know, heart rate set up. And then,
Wow, and you hadn't eaten and you're alone and all of these
yes.
things, which like the risk of aspiration is so low. It's so frustrating because you need to eat. You're on a regimented eating schedule. Like you knew you'd yeah, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry,
Yeah,
but
yeah. And I was so worried about the babies themselves. I'm like,
I'm
they need
sure.
to
Yes, I'm
eat. Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But
And
then
then,
everything was okay.
yeah. And so then they did admit me. And so I did go upstairs into a room and it was, you know, shared, but they closed all the curtains and whatnot because of COVID. And I just couldn't sleep. I could not sleep. By
I
the time I
bet.
went up into the room, I think it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was just like, I couldn't sleep for the life of me. And I was overly emotional because obviously my husband wasn't there. Because I was like, why did I
Right.
tell him to stay behind?
It was the right and logical
Yeah.
decision.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
it, yeah. And then so there's shared rooms. And with COVID, did that give you any anxiety? Or were you trying? You had so many other things to worry about.
Yeah, it wasn't even a thought because if it wasn't, it was shared, but it wasn't like it wasn't a full room either. Like we had curtains and everything closed, so
Yeah.
we were separated, but the hospital was so full, so I was actually in a different wing than I was supposed to be.
Wow.
And so I knew that eventually I was going to go to a wing where I was going to have my own room. It just we're waiting for a room to become available for me, is
Yeah.
what it was.
Wow.
And I just remember, I think it was like, I don't remember, I wanted to wait for my husband to have a proper sleep because I didn't want him driving in the middle of the night on, because it's a mountain he has to climb over, right? So there's always almost always snow on it. And
Oh,
so I was like,
wow.
okay, I'm gonna wait to call him in the morning and tell him to get his butt over here. And so like he called me in the morning when he woke up. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna let you know. I'm like, I just started bawling on the phone with him. I'm like, we need to
Oh, I need you.
get here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh.
exactly. And so he got over as quick as he could. He packed up and came over. And then I ended up shortly after he arrived, I was able to get my own room. So thankfully, I was only in that room for a short period of time. And then I had another ultrasound at that hospital. And it was kind of frustrating because it was a hospital where they specialize in multiples and everything. And the lady kept mixing up. She's like, baby A. I'm like, no, that's baby B. She's like, baby C. I'm like, no, that's baby A, right? And
Oh,
so I was like, you're supposed to be a specialist and you're kind of
yeah.
messing up. And I was just like a little frustrated because I still hadn't slept and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
So it was just was not in a great mood.
yeah, no.
So yeah, once they figured that everything was okay, it was like a couple of days of monitoring me, having ultrasounds, checking their heartbeats. They would check their heartbeats 2 to 3 times a day. So that was an ordeal too, again, trying to find three heartbeats, and they wanted to monitor for a minute at least. It wasn't like 5 minutes, but
Yeah.
so it took a while each time the nurses came in to check on that. But the doctors wanted me to stay local instead of going back to my hometown because my hometown couldn't deliver me until 34 weeks.
Oh,
So they said,
wow.
we're going to keep you close by until you get to 34 weeks, and then we'll send you home. So I was like, okay. And thankfully, there's a Ronald McDonald House right by the hospital.
Oh, good.
So they got me set up in a room there, and my mom ended up coming down to be with me. And yeah, and then so my husband was there for a week, and then I don't know if you heard about it, but there was a crazy like storm in BC, and every highway going from BC to Vancouver closed down because they washed out. So my husband actually drove home the day the highway washed out. So he went through a couple of like big puddles and stuff like that through the rain, but thankfully he got through. And as he got home, he heard that the highway had washed out behind
Oh
him.
my
Yeah.
goodness
Yeah.
gracious. Oh, all these close calls.
I
Wow.
know, right? And so then
Whew.
he had no way of getting back
Back.
to Vancouver. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
So it's
man.
just like, oh my gosh. I was so thankful that my mom had gotten there, right? Because at
Yes.
least she was there to be with me, because if she had waited, she wouldn't have been able to come either.
Oh, my
So it
goodness.
was, yeah, it was all very close calls. And I was like, oh my gosh. And trying to figure out, like, have my husband maybe flying to see me the next time he comes to see me. And
Yeah. Because you're
it was.
looking at, if I'm doing the math right, 27 weeks. They can't deliver you between 34. So at least 5 weeks, you know that you're going to be there in Vancouver.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Yeah. So
Yeah.
that's a long time. And I'm guessing your husband works and you still have
Yes.
to pay your mortgage or your rent or, yeah, like you, yeah, the world doesn't stop because of this happening and, oh, balancing it all. Oh my God, what a
Exactly.
tremendous amount of stress when your objective is to not be stressed during pregnancy.
Yeah,
Wow. Woo!
exactly. Good luck with
Yeah.
that one.
Wow. And then what time was this? Because as you said, it's when COVID was happening, but about what month in year in the world was this happening?
My triplets are 3 months old now. They were born December 23rd,
Aww.
and so I was flown to Vancouver the beginning of November.
Wow. So when things were, the numbers were crawling way back up too.
Yeah,
Oh
exactly.
man. Oh wow. But your mom was able to be with you at the Ronald McDonald home and
Yeah,
visit and
so we
everything?
Yeah, we knew that my husband was going to have to go back to work, and so in order to have someone with me, my mom came down to be with me.
Oh,
Because
great.
it was actually a requirement of the Ronald McDonald House, because technically I was the patient of the hospital, and if
Right.
you're a patient, you need someone else with you who's not a patient to take care of you in case something happens, because they're not a medical facility,
Got it.
right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was really nice to be able to have her with me, and I have like. I have nothing bad to say about the Ronald McDonald House. It was just amazing to be there. It was amazing that they were so close and the staff was there, and it was over Christmas, and they had so many amazing things to offer the parents and the children and everything that
Oh.
were there. It was wonderful.
I'm so glad you had that resource and that positive experience, but it's still not home with your
No.
husband. So I can only imagine how hard it was as well. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And
Wow.
then getting back to like the size of my body, I ended up getting to the point where I could barely walk, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I ended up having to rent like an electric scooter,
Oh.
because the hospital and the Ronald McDonald House, it wasn't much of a hill, but it was still a hill. And my mom, she's just this little lady, and she was not capable of pushing this big, pregnant lady up this hill, right? So I was like, it
Yeah.
needs to be electric, whatever I get, so that I could just do it myself, right? So
Wow.
yeah, I ended up having to rent that. And so that, again, that was like a lifesaver for sure, because I was barely able to walk from like our room at the Ronald McDonald House down to the kitchen, because they have like a communal kitchen, let alone from the house to the hospital. So
Wow. When you were outside of your safe environment eating, were you still able to, and you weren't also able to see your therapist, or maybe you were telehealth visits? Let me know. But how were you able to still manage, your eating disorder and recovery during that time?
I think that I had done so much work by that time, and my focus was on the babies again, that I was completely okay with, eating whatever I needed to and wanted to
Great.
at the time and around people. And again, being COVID, you were there were so many different tables to sit at in the dining room, and so generally your family kind of sits at their own table, so you're not really beside somebody. kind of thing too, right? So it was, had a little bit of separation as
Okay.
well. I think one of the hard parts for me was being barely able to walk a short distance meant I was barely able to cook because I couldn't really stand in the kitchen and cook. And my mom's
Yeah.
not a cook. She doesn't cook.
Oh
So a lot of things were just like quick and easy things, right? So
Yeah.
that got a really repetitive and boring, but the Ronald McDonald House would buy dinners for everybody in the house twice a week. So it was really nice to have some kind of meals from different restaurants in the community. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad that it didn't impact. And then were you able to receive telehealth visits with your therapist too?
Yes, yeah, we
Great.
did phone appointments, and that was really difficult actually because, you know, I shared a room with my mom, and it was basically like a hotel room, like two beds and a bathroom and a TV, right? So I was like, I didn't really have any private area
Privacy.
to
Yeah.
have the conversations with my therapist. And so basically I would just try and find the closest, you know, place maybe in the Ronald McDonald House that might there might not be a lot of people or something that I could talk
Oh,
to him and we could have our kind of somewhat alone time but not alone time. Like
that's
it
not the
was kind
same.
of
Yeah.
odd. Yeah, right. But he was really good because he would ask like he knew that like if someone was around I would not say certain things, and so he would be like, okay, I'm gonna move on now and I'll ask you the private questions a little later,
Oh,
right? So he
great.
was really good at getting that. And doing that in a way that was comfortable, but I didn't have to really talk about things if certain people were around.
Good. I'm so glad. I think therapy can be beneficial for anyone and everyone at any point in life, but especially in these high stress situations with pregnancy, absolutely can be. So I'm so thankful that you have that resource there for you. Wow. So did
Thanks.
time go by fast, slow, or a mixture?
At the time, it felt very, very slow. But when
Yeah.
I look back at it now, I'm like, oh my gosh, like everything has been flying by. But it felt forever because I was in so much pain. Like it was
Yeah.
just my belly was getting so big, like laying on my, like I have a deteriorating disc in my back. So that didn't help as
Oh.
well. And I'm trying to roll over in my bed to get comfortable. My belly got so heavy that it would be uncomfortable that I literally have to like on the if I was laying on my right side, I'd have to take my right hand and lift my belly over to the other side because like, the gravity would just pull it down and it would just be so painful. So I literally had to like lift my own belly over to the other side because it was just so painful. And my mom would always be like, "I don't know what to do to help you." I'm like, "There's nothing anyone could do, Mom. I just have to wait it out."
Right. Were maternity clothes just not even I'm even available? What did you wear? It's hard
I
enough when
ended
you're
up,
plus size and pregnant finding maternity
right?
clothes when you have one baby, let alone three.
Yes, it was hard. I ended up finding some plus size maternity stuff from Old Navy,
Nice.
but by the end of it, only one pair continued to fit me. So I was wearing the same pair on a regular basis. And then there was one pair of pajama bottoms that fit me, but they were kind of like almost like they were more sweatpants than anything. So I would kind of like switch between the two of them almost.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Yes, right. So I was thankful that I had those, and I think the one pair that I had, they probably just maybe stretched so much with me that
Right?
they just stayed with me, right? But the other ones, they were just a little more rigid and they wouldn't. So
Oh,
I was
wow.
very thankful that I had those. I was like, oh my gosh. And then trying to find a winter jacket because it was still winter here, and
Yeah.
I ended up thankfully, but not thankfully, they don't really make anything. But what I ended up having to do was I went to Winners and I got a men's jacket because nothing in the women's would fit me in my belly. So I had to
Yeah.
buy a men's winter jacket in order for me to be able to close it up. So it was a little frustrating that there was nothing that I could find for women's, but I
Right.
was just, I guess, unfortunately happy enough that I could find something that would cover me
Something.
up. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I think that can be common for, people of all sizes who are carrying multiple babies that they end up wearing their partner's clothes or even just with a singleton baby. But, it feels nice to be able to get something that is just for you and kind of disappointing when you can't, for sure. As a certified childbirth educator specializing in plus-size pregnancy for over a decade, I've become frustrated with how the information shared in popular pregnancy apps, websites, and magazines doesn't always align with having a plus-size pregnancy. So I've written an evidence-based, week-by-week plus-size pregnancy breakdown just for you. Head to plussizebirth.com to sign up for the Plus Size Pregnancy Week by Week Breakdown Series. Best of all, it's completely free. So go to plussizebirth.com today. Now, back to the show. So how did things progress there near the end?
I ended up having 3 total hospital visits when I was in Vancouver.
Okay.
And so the first one was when I initially got there. And then I had another time where I thought I was going into labor. I felt like I was going, my contractions, I thought I was. And I ended up, I was there for a while and I had the whole team with me. And I have to explain this too, because they, for whatever reason, every time I had an ultrasound, which was every week to 2 weeks, they had this little card and I would be weighed again and they write everything down. And again, I would ask them to do it backwards and they would write the numbers for me. And he would ask, he asked me, he's like, what's your weight? And I told him, I'm like, I have a history of an eating disorder. I'm like, I don't know the number, but I have a card with it and I can give you the card. And he was totally like, oh, no, totally. I understand. And give me the card and I will take that. And I was like, I was actually amazed how well he took that. And it wasn't even an issue with him. So, but then it ended up my contractions eased up and it was fine. And then it was just okay, well, they kept me in the hospital again for a few days just to monitor. And then they're like, okay, we feel like everything's okay and we're going to send you home again. But it was, they had a high risk pregnancy team at that hospital. So it was a constant seeing different doctors every day, depending on who it was. And one of the doctors before I was discharged that time was talking about sending me back home. But I was like, well, it's not time for me to be back home yet. Right. Yeah. And she's like, that's fine. She's like, we need the rooms here. So I don't think that you should be here. You should be back home. I'm like, but what if I have to come back? What's the point of that? Right. And I'm like, well, are you guys going to fly me back home? Because that's how I got here. She's like, well, no. And I was like, okay, well, the roads, most of the highways are closed. There's only, at this time now, there was one highway opened. It was a teeny tiny little highway. And it wasn't actually meant for a lot of traffic, but it was getting a lot of traffic now. It was getting, the trucks and everything on it. And there was constant delays and it was taking 7 hours versus the 4.5.
Which you don't want to be sitting in a car. That's risk for developing blood clots and all kinds of things to be sitting that long with
and
your triplets.
Went into labor?
Go to labor on the middle of the road. Yeah. Oh my gosh. How many weeks were you at this when they were saying this?
At that time, I was 30, 31 to 32 and around that.
Wow. So right? Yeah, that they would fly you back if you ended up, oh man, I bet your blood pressure was, it was skyrocketing right up.
I was so stressed. And I was like, I was arguing with her. I'm like, it doesn't make any sense because I'm like, what if I go into labor while I'm on the road? That's a long road trip to be on. And if I'm in labor in a section that doesn't have, self-service, it's not like it's a one baby where maybe my husband can, do it for me.
Right.
There's no way. All the doctors told me I was going to have a C-section. It was an automatic C-section with this pregnancy because it was high risk. And so I was really upset and I ended up talking to one of the nurses about it. And she's like, you know what? She's like, that doctor. She's like, I'm not surprised that doctor said that. She's like, you talk to this doctor and I bet you that they'll figure things out for you. And so, I think it was 2 days later, the nurse I talked about came in and I had mentioned to him what had been said. And he said, he looked at me, he's like, no, he's like, that's not going to happen. He's like, she's worried about money and finances and all this stuff because we have to pay for the flight if we send you back home and we have to pay for, your hospital stays and this and that, whatever. He's like, there's no way that we're, cause it's a meeting that they have to have with the entire high risk pregnancy doctors, their team, in order to send me back, right? He's like, he's like, she might try and send you back. He's like, but I'll fight it. So I was really thankful that I had a doctor on my side, saying no, we're not going to send you home.
Yeah. I guess a quick sidebar for me living in the States is I think about the flight and the long stay and all that. And that would bankrupt a family here in the United States. But at least with your form of universal health care that you don't have those expenses. But of course, I'm sure there were countless other expenses that you incurred, you know, eating food and having to grab more Old Navy pajamas, you know, in that jacket. But but overall, at least that was one less thing for you to have to worry about, where it could, depending upon what insurance availability someone else had in another area of the world, I mean, this could literally bankrupt someone. So, wow.
Oh my gosh. Like, my husband and I talked about that a lot, actually, that if we had lived in the States, because I do actually have family in the States, that if I lived there, if we lived there, we would have incurred probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yes, with absolutely.
All the hospital stays, the being flown to and from Vancouver, having the NICU stay of our babies, and just like everything. And I was just like, we were so thankful that we do have universal health care here.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you had that doctor being like, I got you. How stressful. You're like, stop putting me through all this unnecessary stress.
Like, and again, my husband's not here, you know, he's just alone.
Wow.
And then I think it was actually that following weekend that was, I told my husband, like, because it was just before Christmas, I was like, just come here, you can be here for Christmas, and then, you know, if anything happens, you'll just be here. And so I was discharged from the hospital a few days after that meeting with the doctor, and went back to the Ronald McDonald House, and my husband came back, and I think it was about a week after being discharged again that I ended up, my water broke. I just woke up with it early in the morning. It was like, I think 7:30 in the morning or something. And I just like, I kind of moved, I rolled over in bed, and I just like felt like a little bit, you know, fluid come out. And I'm like, oh, like I probably have to go pee.
Yeah.
And like, as I was getting out of bed, I'm like, okay, I'm not able to stop my pee. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And as I stood up, it was just wouldn't stop. So it was like, okay. And then I looked over, like, because my mom and my husband were still sleeping, and I was like, I think my water broke.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that you thought, like, okay, I want my husband here, and he wants to be here for the birth of our babies. And timing, I mean, he could have very easily been on the road when you were having your babies, and to have him there. And then, so we're looking at, you're at 33 weeks now and your water breaks. So these babies, to tell me, because I'm not as well versed with gestational age of triplets, is 33 weeks, I know that's very early, but is that more average for triplets, or is it still early?
It's average. It's right on the average. 33 is right on that cusp of being average. So it was.
So they're not going to do anything to stop it. They're going to decide that it's time for your babies to be born. Okay, got it.
Exactly. Yeah. So we went to the hospital, and it was actually perfect timing, because it was just after they did their shift change. So they had full staff. The doctors and everything were there. It was like a well-oiled machine. They just like bam, 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 did what they needed. And it was just, I have to say, like, they did so amazing the day that I actually went into labor. And it was just like, the doctor that did the C-section was so amazing, and just so reassuring through everything. And I was very nervous about, even if it was going to be a vaginal delivery or a C-section delivery, I was nervous either way.
Yes.
But I hate needles. And then obviously having to have that, I was just like, I don't really like needles. And they're like, it's okay. Like, we're going to, they numbed the area for me. And they did like an ultrasound on my back before giving me the needle to make sure that they are putting it in the right spot.
Okay.
And because I had heard horror stories, I had a friend of mine, she had like, they poked her a million times to try and get the needle for her. And I was just like, I was so, so worried about it, because I have a deathly afraid of needles. And they just, yeah, it was just one poke. They did it and it was good. And then they laid me down and all set up. And they actually, because it was triplets, they only had enough room in the delivery and their OR room for two of the babies. So one of the teams had to go to the next room over.
Oh, wow.
But it was just like, they just knew what they were doing. And it was, you know, we were very thankful.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They eased my nerves. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then your babies are born.
Yes.
How long did they need to stay in the NICU?
They were in the NICU just under a month. So they were discharged on a Friday, and they turned 1 month on the Sunday.
Oh, wow. And is that about average with triplets?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's about average. Exactly. Yeah.
So you knew going in you know, you're gonna, they said you're gonna have a cesarean birth. We know that they're gonna be early for gestational age, and that they would be in the NICU. So all these things are prepared, and mentally, but how was it emotionally to visit the babies in the NICU?
It was, I mean, before having them like reading the book and everything and reading up on the different things that could happen with, you know, depending on the gestational age and everything, was nerve-wracking and thinking about how long they might be in there. And then there was also the thing where they say like one baby might be discharged before the other ones. And so it was in my mind, I was more in my mind a lot of the times beforehand, but again, the hospital that we were at, they were just amazing. So we had two boys and one girl, Annabelle, Blake, and Leo. And
Oh,
so the
beautiful.
boys needed CPAP
Okay.
because they just weren't quite getting enough oxygen. So then they went into a different, because they had different sections of the NICU depending on the level of care. So the boys were in one area of the hospital in an NICU, and then Annabelle was actually in my recovery room with me because she was actually good. She was, yeah, she was perfect. Like, yeah, she doesn't need anything. She's a fighter. She's really good.
What a rock
So,
star at 33
yeah.
weeks being like, "No, mom,
Yeah.
I've got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll hang out with you. You can
Yeah,
worry about the
exactly.
boys." Oh,
Yeah. So, the boys were on CPAP for 48 hours. And then they came off, so that was really good. But yeah, it was just the nurses and the doctors and everything were just amazing. So it they made the stay in the NICU just it took away a lot of the nerve, right? That we were, you know, that we were having. I do have to say, like, again, being in recovery from an eating disorder, reading the book, I kept being told that they were born at an amazing weight. Like even the doctor, like, looked over the little like curtain when he was pulling out the babies. He's like, "You did a really good job, mama." Because my girl was born at 4 pounds, 11 ounces, and the boys were born at 4 pounds, 6 ounces. So I was just like, yay. I was so excited that they, you know, were at a really good weight.
You did a really good job.
Yeah. So I was really thankful for that.
And then I gotta ask, how was the car ride home with three infants?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was nerve-wracking. We were flown back home,
Oh, you were flown
right?
back. Okay, good.
After,
Sorry. I don't know why I
so
was
me
just
and the babies,
envisioning three little car seats
yeah.
and
Oh,
juggling.
it was a possibility. It was another stressor where they were talking about sending us home because like, well, they're getting to the point where they don't quite need our care, but a little bit they need our care. And I was like, I ended up talking to one of the doctors. I was like, look, like, the highway is still somewhat closed. We have the small little road that's available. It takes 7 hours to get home. I'm like, is there any ways you guys can fly us back? The reason it was taking so long is because our community, they had no beds available. And when they did beds available, they only had one or two where they needed three, right? So, and then like one morning they said, well, we might have something available and we're going to try and transfer you. And then by the time everything like went through, it was just like, nope, the beds aren't available. It was just like, oh my gosh, it was a bit of a, you know, upset there. And then I think it was another week and a half to 2 weeks that we got a phone call in the morning saying like, yep, they've got beds in Kelowna. You're going to be transferred. Get ready. So we just rushed back to the hospital, got everything we needed. And the transport team was amazing as well. And so they flew me and the babies back. And then so my spouse and my mom drove back and they were in the hospital in Kelowna for a week. And then, yeah, it was a thankfully the drive back from that hospital to home was only about 7 minutes. But still, it was still very nerve-wracking to drive with them. Yeah. I'm sure every new mom is like that,
Oh yeah, I totally sat in the back seat and I only had one baby.
though. Yeah. Well, that was a problem because I couldn't sit in the back seat because
Right,
they take it
no.
up, right? So I was like just trying to like look back. I'm like, oh, are you guys okay?
And you had said flights both ways earlier, but I was so fixated on that road closure that I was like,
Oh,
how did they get home?
yeah, right. Oh, that was such a nerve-wracking experience trying to think of that. Yeah.
What has postpartum been like with three babies?
It's been tough. I'm not gonna lie. Like we do have some help, but it's still been really tough for us. My Annabelle was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, so she requires a lot of extra care. She requires physio 3 times a day. She requires medication before every feed. She requires extra salt, extra special vitamins. And then my one son, Leo, he's got reflux issues, so he requires medicine and different things, and being held for so long after the feeds. So it's actually a lot of extra work on top of having triplets. So it's been tough, but I mean, we're making it work. It's just, you know, we kind of have to, obviously, but just their amazing little, you know, cute faces and cheeks and smiles just make everything worth it.
How are you doing?
It's really tough. I definitely have had my moments where I cry, right? Or I think every mom goes through that,
Same. I was
right?
like,
Where it's,
same. Yeah.
yeah, it's, it just gets so hard sometimes, right? Where you just like sit there and just like, and I hate doing it, but there's been times where I'm just like holding one of them, just won't sleep in the middle of the night, and then like, so I'm not sleeping, and so I'm crying and trying to hold them and try and get them, you know, get them to sleep. And I think one of the things that I am now dealing with, and I'm working with my therapist, is the change in my body afterwards, right? Like the, because you go from having three babies in you down to nothing almost, right? I mean, my uterus is still, you know, just shrinking down, so I still have that, but it's just a lot of just the way my body looks now that I'm having to kind of re, you know, go through the acceptance of my body the way it is, right? So that's been something that my therapist and I have been working through again.
I'm so glad you have that support from him because it is so important. I wish we all had access to therapy for those who want it because it can be life-saving in many ways. So I'm glad that you
Oh
have
my
that.
gosh. Yes, it's like I again wouldn't have been able to do as well as I did without the support of my therapist.
And I'm glad that you were able to stay in Vancouver where you had that extra support and not the additional stress of worrying about so many different factors with the babies and needing knowing you needed extra care too. So, what a story, Lori! Wow, yeah, I've been on the edge of my seat for a bit, and but so beautiful, and you know, and yes, they're only 3 months old. I mean, they're so teeny and tiny and new, and your whole world has changed. And wow, what a beautiful journey to fight so hard for so long to become parents. And now you guys have triplets. Aw, I love it. Aw.
Thanks. Yeah, we're so happy. And yes, it was definitely a journey, quite the roller coaster, but yeah, we're here now and just, you know, living it up.
What is your words of wisdom, if you can pull any out, for anyone who's newly found out that they're having multiples?
Oh my gosh. I have to say what other moms have told me, because I've been on, you know, different groups online asking for support. And the biggest thing is breathe, right? Take it day by day. That's actually one big thing too about, you know, if your babies are in the NICU, is take everything day by day. And also the thing to consider about, like, because sometimes you'll have a bad day. You'll have a bad day in the NICU or something, right? And you'll have like a, you'll be worried about them. But when you think about their overall stay, like from like a week ago to today, they're actually doing really good, right? So it's like you've got to be day by day, but also like think about the overall how they're doing and pull on the extra support from wherever you can if you have it.
Great.
One thing that one of my really good friends actually gave me an idea, our hospital here has volunteer huggers for our cuddlers for babies. And so I actually asked the hospital if we could utilize their cuddlers. And so we actually have some cuddlers at the house right now helping me while I'm doing the podcast. So
Amazing.
yeah, so utilize what you can to try and help yourself out, because it's very hard on your own. You're going to want to need that extra support if you can.
Such great words of wisdom. And now I also want to find out how I can be a volunteer cuddler because that sounds amazing.
Right? Yes.
Did you want to share where people can find you if they want to connect and share your Instagram handle?
Yeah, definitely. You can find our lovely triplets on Instagram at wolf underscore pack underscore triplets. So it's wolf pack triplets.
I love it.
Yeah, we have our little inside joke where it's we're the little wolf pack, right? And so their
Oh,
nursery theme is wolves. So yeah.
that was so sweet. Well, you've taken us on such a journey, and it has been an absolute delight to follow along with you. And I'm just so happy for you and your family and all that your little wolf pack will hold together as you grow together. And so, so beautiful. And thank you for being so honest and transparent about your recovery. I know it's going to help others listening, and your resources for multiples. And I'll put a lot of stuff over at plusmommy.com in the show notes. And I just thank you so much for being on the show. I've really enjoyed our time together.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Jen. And I want to thank you for all the resources that you have, because I definitely used your resources as well throughout my pregnancy. So I really want to thank you for that as well.
Well, that means so much to me, but now I'm honored that your story will be added to those resources as the first triplets resource. So thank you for, tapping in the resources, and now you've become one of the resources. So that's pretty neat too.
Yes, I'm
So,
very honored.
oh, well, I'm honored to have you too. So,
Thanks.
well, thanks, friends. Until next time, take care. Bye.
Bye.